Welcome to Wildly Worthy, where we get intentional about money and life. I'm Nikki. I used to be insecure, anxious, feeling stuck like a victim of my circumstances until I started taking inspired action and truly believing in myself. Now I'm an international money and mindset coach, teach other women how to take charge of their finances and their lives. Each week, I'll teach you something new to get you one step closer to your dream life. You'll learn how to make friends with your money and yourself while finding gratitude and abundance all around you. It's time to start believing that you are wildly worthy of your wildest dreams. I'm so happy you're here. Let's get started. Hello, friends, and welcome back. Today, I have a treat for you. I have an interview with Jasmine Irvin. She's a certified meditation teacher and the founder of Sustainable Bliss Collective, a self-care community and membership for ambitious humans who need the reminder to slow down and reprioritize their self-care even when they're super busy. Hi, Jasmine. Welcome to the podcast. I'd love for you to share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how you help people.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me, first of all. So my name is Jasmine. I'm a certified meditation teacher. I'm in the process of being certified in EFT and NLP and all of these other fun things too, but mostly I'm a meditation teacher. And I got into this work probably like 2-ish years ago. I was working in corporate and, you know, things seemed great from the outside. I had just graduated from university. I got like what I considered to be a really good job. It was in my field. I was super excited. I was living in Toronto, which was like my dream city at the time. I had moved from like my small town to the big city. And, you know, it seemed like everything was kind of like falling into place, but something just didn't feel like completely right or completely aligned. And so the more that I kind of started to like ask myself what was off, the more I realized that, first of all, I just wasn't super aligned with the job that I was in. Like the values of the company didn't align with me. And I didn't realize how important that was to me until I was actually working there. So that was like the first thing. But the second kind of red flag was that I just really wasn't prioritizing my self-care at all. And I think when you're younger, you can kind of get away with it. And then the more that I was working in corporate and just placing a lot of demands on my body and on myself to show up in a certain way, I always say like, it wasn't other people really placing expectations on myself, but I was placing them on myself. I was the youngest person working in the office surrounded by like a bunch of VPs. And I was just really always trying to like prove myself to other people. I was trying to prove my worth. I was trying to show that I could do the job that they had assigned to me and that I was really good and that I was the best hire. All of these things that, you know, obviously you want to be doing your best in any role that you're in, but I was just pushing myself so, so hard to show up in that way that my self-care and my well-being just kind of went down the drain. I wasn't really taking care of myself at all. So it was a lot of late nights. It was a lot of like responding to emails when I shouldn't have been, setting no boundaries, always taking on extra projects from different departments that, you know, again, no one told me I had to do this. It wasn't in my job description, but I did it. And so I got burned out like super, super quickly. I was only working there for probably like 6 months or a year before I started to realize that something was really wrong. So I ended up I decided to go to a nutritionist for support because I felt like there was something that had to be off in my blood work. I got to the point where I was like, okay, it's not just that I'm not aligned. There's something more going on here. I couldn't wake up in the morning without hitting snooze for like 2 hours. And so I knew there was something wrong. I found out I had Hashimoto's, which is an underactive thyroid. I'd explained why I was tired all of the time. And what she told me and what we had to work through was
that this was because I was not taking care of myself. It was because I was so stressed all of the time. And so I really had to find ways to start to prioritize myself while working in that job. So I stayed there. I didn't quit. I wasn't in a position where I could just leave right away, even though I knew that I wanted to eventually. I knew it wasn't the role for me, but I started to find out where I had space in my day that I could start to take care of myself. I set up like a little bit better boundaries at work. I, you know, found and really dove into personal development. I found meditation and yoga. And then with all of these changes, I was like, okay, if this is helping me this much, because it really did transform my life like quite quickly, I really wanted to share it with other people. And so I started, you know, looking into certification programs, and I started sharing my journey in a blog, which is Sustainable Bliss. And then that blog has kind of evolved as I decided, oh, I actually want to start teaching. And oh, I actually want to start, you know, the membership that I have now. It's very much evolved, but it was essentially at the beginning, just a blog documenting my health and wellness journey and, you know, what was helping me. And so, yeah, that's kind of where we're at today.
That is amazing. And when you were talking about your job, like what came through my mind was The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
Have you seen that movie? I watched it, but like always like on demand, even though you said it was you putting those expectations on yourself rather than, you know, maybe somebody else being like, oh, you better answer my email right now or you're fired, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Wasn't that, it was me. Really, the job was like really great. And the people mm-hmm. there were really great. Like, and I feel so bad talking about it now because I feel like I put it in a bad light, but it wasn't the job at all. It was me. And I think that's pretty common for, mm-hmm. especially like for women to put these stories on ourselves or put these expectations that don't really need to be there. And just to prove our worth. And it's really, yeah, it's not fun for anyone.
yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, I think that trying to prove our worth is so, so prevalent for women. And that's one of the reasons why this podcast is called Wildly Worthy.
Oops. Exactly.
Knocking my desk over. Okay. So when you started your journey with self-care, what do you think? What was the biggest difference? Like, did you notice one thing was helping you more than another? Or was like a combination of all of them coming together?
That's a good question. At the beginning, I feel like I was I went like 0 to 100 really, really quickly. So I feel looking back, it's hard for me to pinpoint what actually made the biggest shift because I did so much all at once. Like completely changed what I was eating. Like started cooking a lot more at home. Before, I was like not really eating breakfast, and I would eat lunch, but it would just be at my desk. Like I wouldn't actually take a lunch. And so I started really prioritizing like what I was putting into my body. And then I started working out at the same time, and I started like the mindset piece, like the listening to podcasts. And I started with morning pages in the morning where I would just brain dump essentially what was going on. And I think all of them served a different purpose, but looking back now, I think the mindset piece is really, really huge. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I think at the beginning, I thought that it needed to be the food and the working out over mm-hmm. everything else. But if I hadn't also been doing the journaling and the meditation, I don't think it would have had the same impact. I think they really go hand in hand, but I needed the mindset piece too, because I was just, so much was overworking myself and not knowing what I actually wanted. And then the more that I was able to get quiet with myself and ask myself different questions, I was able to kind of be like, okay, yes, this job is not aligned. This job is great for now, but mm-hmm. I see myself doing bigger things. So let's start working towards those things. And then that brought a sense of passion back into my day that I didn't have before. And that was really, really huge. So yes, the the food and the stuff to do with the physical body was really important too, because I genuinely like needed that in my blood work. I needed the nutrients. I was deficient in a lot of places. So I couldn't, they really went hand in hand. But I think the mindset piece is like lesser talked about when you start mm-hmm. to talk about self-care. A lot of what you see is the working out, the movement. I just think that like adding that extra piece in is really, really important too.
So like the being versus the doing, because I can see how the nutrition and the fitness for me anyway can turn into something else I've got to prove my worth in, like, oh well, I didn't work out today, so I'm crappy or whatever. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And just making it hard on myself to be another thing that, you know, maybe I see as, oh, I failed at that today. Yeah. But yeah, that mindset plays a huge, huge thing. And that's, you know, as well as with money, I talk about that too. I'm like, you want a budget, we'll do a budget, but it's not gonna matter if you don't do the mindset part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's with everything. You need both. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a lot, like looking back, I'm like, I don't know how I did all of that at once. It was a lot, but I think for me it's because I had something tangible telling me like I really needed to change, or mm-hmm. I could see the effects of what would happen if I continued to be in my same ways. If you don't have that, I think it's a little bit harder. And I think that's why even now I still struggle some days, because I don't have something that's like, well, if you don't do this, this is gonna happen. It's like, I don't have the immediate consequences. Yeah. And so it's a little bit harder to prioritize your self-care when you maybe don't see like an immediate effect. But over time, I know now, okay, it's been a few weeks, Jasmine, your body can't handle overworking again. Like, so whenever I find myself falling back into those old patterns now, I'm a little bit quicker, just that little bit quicker to be like, okay, no, like start saying no to things. You need to prioritize yourself. And so, yeah, if I didn't do the mindset work back then, I probably wouldn't be able to do that now. I would continue to fall in the same patterns and let them get to the point of burning me out again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about prioritizing your self-care. How can somebody make sure that they are doing that, that it's not just like falling, like another thing they have to do? Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Because the reality is it is another thing that you're putting on your plate. And so what I see a lot and what I still struggle with too is, okay, but all of these other things need to get done today, quote unquote, need to get done mm-hmm. today. Because they don't always need to get done, but we feel they need to get done. And so, yeah, it's really hard to prioritize something that, again, doesn't have maybe an immediate reward, or you can't, you know, it's not like you're checking something off your to-do list, you're deleting an email where it like feels like it's off your plate. It's kind of something where you have to do it every day, or, you know, you want to be doing it every day. And so it's easy to push off and be like, okay, I'll just do it tomorrow. Like when I finish like X, Y, and Z, then I'll prioritize my self-care, then I'll meditate. But the reality is there's always so much more to do that it just never happens when we continue to, you know, we continue to push it off because it's not a priority. So I think it's about shifting your mindset and realizing that you, first of all, are completely worthy of rest and self-care, and that they're not like surface level things. They're really, you know, it is really essential to your well-being, your health, your, you know, mental well-being to prioritize these things. It's not just a nice to have, because if you ever have felt super fatigued, if you've experienced burnout in any way, if you've gotten sick from overworking yourself, you know that there are a lot of real physical impacts of not taking care of yourself. So the first thing I think is just realizing you are completely worthy of taking that time to rest, and that it's really necessary, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to do all the other things that you want. You're not going to be able to show up with the same energy to your work, to the people that you love, to, you know, your hobbies and things that you want to be doing. So first, that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is like, okay, on like the tangible side, mm-hmm. it's about really being honest with yourself and asking, like, what needs to get done today? What actually needs to get done today? And what is something that I'm putting on my plate that either I'm doing it because I think I need to be doing it and it doesn't need to get done at all? Or, you know, someone else asked me to do this thing and it's a priority for them, but it's not really for me. And what would it look like to push that a day or a week or whatever that is? So I think it's really hard, but to get super critical kind of with what you're putting in your schedule, because if you are saying like, I just don't have time for self-care, you must have too much on your plate, because mm-hmm. self-care one day, like it might only be 5 minutes. So if, you know, someone is telling me I don't have time for 5 minutes to just sit and breathe, I'm like, okay, either you're completely like overworking yourself and you need to rest a little bit, you need to take some things off your plate, or there's, you know, maybe some like scheduling issues or things like that where you do have time, but you just don't see it. So get clear about like what you need to do today, what or how long it's going to take, like not underestimating, oh, I can get that thing done in 5 minutes, even though it's really going to take you like 2 hours and then you feel behind the rest of your day. I do that all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that'll only take an hour. And then it takes three. And then I'm like pushing everything back. So I like to be generous with the things that do have to get done, like how much time are they realistically going to take? And then leaving space in between appointments, leaving space in between tasks throughout my day, so that one, if something goes longer, I don't feel like immediate that sense of stress, like, okay, and now I'm behind. And also so that if I do finish early or I do finish, you know, just on time, and I've added like that extra 5 to 10 minute buffer, what can I do? Can I take my dog on a walk around the block? Can I make myself something, you know, yummy, like a smoothie or something like that, that's going to give me a little bit of a boost? So where are those spaces in your day that you either already have and you're using them, like a lot of us do, to just we scroll on our phones if we mm-hmm. have an extra 5 minutes. So like, how can you use that time a little bit more intentionally if you have it? And also, where can you create a little bit more of it? If you feel like you're going constantly from thing to thing to thing and there's no time for you in the middle, where can you either, you know, like all the entrepreneurial things, eliminate, delegate, like what can you do to get rid of some of those tasks? Mm-hmm. Because that's how you're going to find more space to prioritize it. So think of it like a meeting with someone else. Like, you've probably heard that a million times, but yes, it's something that I'm working on too, because I will be the first person to like move my own appointments that I've made with myself. I'll be like, oh, you know, just like, I'll move it like 10 more minutes. But when I think about it, I would never, you know, reschedule that last minute with someone else. So why am I doing that to myself? Like, why am I doing that to this person, the higher version of myself, who mm-hmm. I want to be showing up for and I want to be doing these things for? Why am I putting her on the back burner when she doesn't deserve to be on the back burner? These things are just as important as everything else. Does that make sense? Did I answer your question?
No, that's like amazing. No, I loved it. I love it. I was like, okay, I'm following. We're going all these places. I love that you said at the end, like, you are serving your higher self, like showing up for her. I've been having conversations with other coaches about like stepping into that version of you that you want to be. And if you're the person you want to be is somebody who has a calm nervous system, who takes time for herself, like, you've got to do the things mm-hmm. right. You've got to take mm-hmm. the time for her. So I love that. And since you brought up entrepreneurship, let's talk about how, you know, as entrepreneurs, we could literally work 24/7. We could. Yeah. But you do a great job of like showing like slow living, small moments, all mm-hmm. that good stuff. So how can, as entrepreneurs, we like slow down, take a breath, and enjoy life?
Yeah. So entrepreneurship, like stepping into it, has been funny for me, because at the beginning I was like, I'm going to have so much more time. I'm going to be able to do, you know, set my own schedule, have all this freedom. And then depending on what you're doing, like I still work for other clients. Like I have clients that I have to kind of show up for still. And so the reality is, like, things need to get done. And there are other people that I'm still in contact with. It's not like I can just do whatever the heck I want, which is kind of like what I had in my mind when I was like, oh, I'll be an entrepreneur. Yeah. I'll do freelance work. It'll be so easy. It's not like that. And even more than that, you don't have people like when I used to stay work like late at the office, sometimes the HR manager would be like, Jasmine, please go home. You've been here all day. You shouldn't be the last one here. I don't have anyone telling me to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And even more than that, I'm already home. I'm working at home 24/7. So I don't have these boundaries or these like ends to my day kind of already in place. I really have to be making them for myself. So it is a lot harder, I think, sometimes as an entrepreneur. But I still like to think that I do have a lot more freedom than when I worked in corporate. Like I still don't really want ever see myself going back there where I did have to show up for certain hours of the day and things like that. I do have a little bit more flexibility now. So let's take advantage of that. So I like to start my day, like you mentioned, I like to start my day pretty slow. I don't really like to start work until like 10 or 10:30. And so depending on what time I went to bed the night before, which my night routine is not as good as my morning routine, I will say. And so it totally depends. But one of my like number one non-negotiables is sleep. So I need at least 8 hours. So depending on what time I went to bed and then what time I'm therefore getting up, that could give me anywhere between like, you know, 1.5 to 4 hours to do whatever I want to be doing. So some days, you know, and my schedule does not look the same day to day, but that morning period is pretty consistent, but like what I do in it is not consistent. That's what I meant to say. So I sometimes will go for, I mean, now that I have a dog, I have to go on a walk every single day in the morning, but I try to make it like pretty long. I try to enjoy the walk. I'll go get a coffee somewhere that I like. I'll go on a walk in like a nice neighborhood. I will make myself a really good breakfast. That's another non-negotiable. If I have that extra like buffer time, I will go to the gym or something where I'm, because walking isn't always enough for me. So I like to, you know, do something else or do some stretching or do some yoga or whatever it is. And then I also try to, so it's like movement, food, and then some time for stillness or slowing down. So some days that's literally just like, okay, like I said, making myself a coffee and sipping it slowly and just kind of enjoying it. Some days I add some journaling in there. Obviously I add things like meditation and that kind of stuff, depending on what I'm feeling. So I think giving yourself the flexibility to be like, okay, my days don't have to look the same, but how can I set up my schedule so that it's good for me, so that it works for me? So you don't have to have this time in the morning. Maybe you'd prefer to, if you like have a lot of energy and you're motivated to work in the morning, then use that to your advantage and stop work a little bit earlier, but set up, you know, those bookends, those boundaries, that's why I have a lot of like live classes with, because I know that if I'm booking a class for myself, I'm going to show up to it. It's going to be the end of the day or the start of my day, and I'm going to actually go to it. It's not something that I'm going to reschedule. So where can you kind of set up those bookends? What's your signal that work is done for the day? You know, those kinds of questions, like asking yourself, again, and it goes back to like what actually has to get done and what can you realistically, you know, push off or just take off of your to-do list like altogether.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that about the mornings. And for a while I followed this morning routine and it worked. It actually worked for me when I was teaching, you know, I'd have to be at work at 7:30 in the morning, which is insane. I don't even get up that early now. but I used to have to be there that early. And like, I remember at a time I was getting up at 5:30 to do this in the morning, but now, you know, I'll get up, I'll do, but I like that you said that it doesn't have to be the same every day, because at one point it kind of became like something to check off my list. Like, oh, yeah. I gotta do this. I didn't do this part. Oh, I forgot this part, rather than just like kind of filling into what feels good in my body. What do I need today? And then even recently, you also said, like, I have decided, like, I need to work first thing when I get up in the morning. Like, my brain is just like ready. So I don't know what's going on, but
yeah,
I love following my bliss. But I'm, oh, bliss is in your name. I love it.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about your live classes and like how people can take part, like what do you do on them and all that good stuff.
Yeah, just if I can add to like what you were just saying.
Oh, yeah.
What you touched on is like, that's how I explain self-care to people. I really say it's about listening to yourself. And so it's going to look different from day to day, because we are not robots. We don't experience the same things every day. Every day is completely different. We feel different every day. So I think that is the most important question to ask yourself if you do want to start incorporating self-care, like finding space for 5-10 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, for self-care. And then, you know, either the night before or the morning of, asking yourself, like, what do I actually need today? What would serve me? And, you know, what is my body asking for? What's my mind asking for? Like, going through that to kind of figure out what you need. And it will look completely different day to day. And it will contrast, or what is that the right word?
Contrast.
It will contradict. It will contradict itself from day to day, because sometimes you might need movement because that would serve your body best. And some days you might need rest, and that there's no right or wrong answer there. It's like, what do you need? So yeah, I just love that you mentioned that, because that is completely how I describe self-care. And so to the point of the classes, yeah, the intention behind them is to provide space for people to prioritize their self-care, because all of the things that we just mentioned, it's easy for us to push off appointments when we're just making them, you know, for ourselves. And even though we know we should be prioritizing that higher self, and even though we know, like, we should be respecting ourselves in the same way that we, you know, respect a meeting with a client or an appointment or anything like that, the reality is, especially at the beginning, it can be quite hard to do that. So I am trying to provide a space where I'm essentially your accountability partner. And if you sign up for class, I want to see you there. Like, obviously, if you have to miss a class, I'm not knocking
on
your door. Yeah, no, of course not. I understand that things come up, but that's kind of the intention behind why I have live classes. It's like a check-in, like, you know, what did you do for yourself this week? If you haven't done anything yet, come to class, like, you know, or there's an on-demand library too, of course. So like, that's always there for people. But I do like this idea of having live classes, because when I was first starting out, it was the same kind of thing. If I had a gym membership, but I didn't sign up for classes, I wasn't as prone to go. It was paying for it helped. Yeah. So when I saw it on the credit card, I was like, okay, you paid for your gym membership again this month. Like, how many times did you go? Are you using it? Mm-hmm. But there was just something a little bit different about, okay, there's a 7 a.m. class, I want to go to it. Like, let's prioritize that. Let's put it as something on the to-do list, on the schedule, so that I am respecting that I wanted to do this for myself. And so, yeah, the self-care classes, they range. I do some that are meditation and journaling, some that are tapping and journaling, some that are just meditation. And then I do like a kind of coaching call once a month and a masterclass once a month too for members. So that's kind of that's like the membership that I am building. And who knows, it's probably going to change and evolve as I change and evolve, but that's where we're at right now. And I really love it. I love showing up for the people who attend the classes, and also for myself. It's really accountability for me too, to slow down. And we have like monthly or weekly themes. And so I love to kind of like think on those themes and then look at how I'm embodying them in my own life too. So yeah, it's helpful in multiple respects for myself, as well as, you know, I hope the people who attend.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yeah, it gives people like, okay, I signed up for this. I'm going to show up for it. I'm going to show up for myself, you know, rather than it being something like, oh, well, I didn't meditate today. Oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow, you know, or, and it just keeps getting pushed and getting pushed and getting pushed. So yeah, that is so cool. And I know you have a membership. Is it open right now or no?
It's not. Depends what time okay. this comes out.
Okay. The next couple of weeks it'll be out.
Okay. So I am aiming for like end of January to reopen the doors. And I'm doing a lot of changes to it. So okay, I can't actually like speak to all the details because I'm still figuring them out. But end of January, you can likely expect the doors to be open if you do want to join. Yeah.
Okay. But people can still sign up for
Oh yeah. You can drop into a class here and there, whatever you like. And if you want to send me a DM too, I'll see if I can figure something out and, you know, let you in.
Very cool. Oh my gosh. I love it. I always love talking to you. You guys have got to go check her out. So where can people find you online? We'll put it in the show notes too, but go ahead and tell us so they can hear it.
Yeah. So my personal Instagram is at Jasmine Irvin. My business page or, you know, for Sustainable Bliss is at Sustainable Bliss Co. So that's where I post about the class schedule and just self-care reminders, self-care inspiration. So that's on Instagram and Pinterest if you want to find us there. And then sustainablebliss.com is our website. So there's more information about the membership there. And we also have a blog that there's lots of fun posts on there for you to look at. And again, just my intention behind it is to inspire you to prioritize yourself and, you know, set the boundaries that you need to practice self-care, all of those fun things. So yeah, those are the spots.
Yay. Well, thank you so much again for coming on. You guys go check her out. Her Instagram is amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's always nice chatting with you too.
Once again, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love to hear from you. Reach out to me on Instagram at wildly_worthy. You can tag me in your stories or send me a DM. Also, I'd love it if you could leave us a rate or review and subscribe if you're not already doing so. Can't wait to see you next time. Bye.